You're listening to EPN.
This is Entrepreneurial Fit Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and welcome to Entrepreneurial Fit Radio here on EPN. Entrepreneurial Fit Radio is your location for health and fitness information for the busy entrepreneur. And as we all know, without good health, you cannot be successful nor productive. Today we are visiting with Carol Ehrlich, the founder, director of the Carol Ehrlich Program, a behavioral approach to weight loss, goal setting, and positive thinking. She teaches one-on-one in her Manhattan office or on the phone nationally and or internationally. Carol conducts workshops about addiction and changing habits for corporations and other organizations. Carol, welcome to Entrepreneurial Fit Radio.
Thank you so much for having me here.
You are welcome. Now, how is the Carol Ehrlich program different from other programs out there?
Well, when I worked corporately many years ago, I had gained weight just because everybody seemed to go out eating and drinking every night, and I didn't understand that I couldn't also say yes to everything, even though I'm only 5'3". And so I gained weight, and I started researching, and everything that came across was you can't eat this and you can't eat that. Yet I remembered when I had been a thin person, I did eat everything. So I had to go revisit what did I do automatically when I was a thin, naturally thin person, and I had to learn it, actually, because when I was doing it, I was mindless. So I had to observe people and how they ate and what they did. And so from that, I did lose 50 pounds, and I did keep it off for all of these years. But it was the behavior that I changed. I never changed the foods. I still put butter on my baked potato. It was that I started to change the speed and the mindfulness of what I was doing rather than just being mindless. So it's really a behavioral change. There's nothing you can't eat except no diet soda or diet crap.
What does a behavioral approach to weight loss mean?
It means that we've gotten in a lot of habits, and just an innocent habit might be you brush your teeth every morning, and if you do it so automatically that unless you really stopped and thought, you wouldn't remember, do you put the toothbrush in the left hand first or the right hand, and how do you do it? You created that habit automatically many, many decades ago, and it's good, because while you're brushing your teeth, you heard it might rain, and you could make sure you got your umbrella and your tote bag. Okay. But then we also have habits that are just as entrenched and just as automatic when it comes to food. I don't know if you're married or have children, but I would imagine you're not making yourself an appetizer every night. But you'd go to a restaurant and automatically order an appetizer. Well, an appetizer is just a restaurant's affectation. They couldn't figure out how to sell you two entrees, so they said, well, let's call one an appetizer. It sounds so cute. So it's that habit of thought that we get so locked into that we're in a restaurant, therefore we must have an appetizer. But if we start thinking of that restaurant as an extension of your own home, because that's really what it's become, you meet people for breakfast and lunch and dinner and so forth. So it's become this extension. To me, this is an extension of my kitchen, except someone else has shopped and chopped and minced and sauteed, served me, and they're going to wash that dish. You can't beat it. But if I'm not having an appetizer at home, then there would be no reason for me to have one, even though there's a pressure from everybody to join in. But if I joined in as I used to join in, then I was 50 pounds heavier. When I say, no thanks, I'm fine, you go ahead, I'm 50 pounds lighter.
That perspective is the first that I've ever heard, and I'm absolutely loving the way you brought that out. Now, why do you think this is a food addiction?
Well, over the years, I teach one-on-one, and so this is not an inexpensive commitment for somebody. And so I teach a lot of doctors and lawyers and CEOs of Fortune 100 companies. I mean, really at the top of their game, and they all work out, and they couldn't figure this out. But as I told one guy yesterday, I said, you know, while you were going and studying for your bar, I was trying to figure this out. And I think that's exactly it. Everyone knows, you know, many years ago when I was struggling, I went to my doctor. I was a very dutiful child, and I said, oh, you know, I put on about 10 pounds. It was before it was 50, it was 10. And I remember as I walked out in that little paper towel, we could get him for sexual harassment now because he patted me on my backside, and he said, oh, you know what to do. And after I got dressed and went home, I realized I did know what to do, but I didn't know how to do it. And so the habits that we have, the habits of thought, that's what I call the addict pea brain. The habit of thought is so entrenched that we don't even stop for a moment and say, hey, wait just a second. This may have worked when I was younger. It's not working now. I need to think about something else. But before we can create something else, we have to become aware of what it is we're doing. And so that's part of what addiction is. It's so mindless that the intelligent us is saying, I shouldn't be doing this, but you can't stop. So whether it, instead of shoving it up your nose or into your arm, you're shoving it into your mouth. This is your drug. This food is our drug.
We are joined by Carol Ehrlich, the founder, director of the Carol Ehrlich Program, a behavioral approach to weight loss, goal setting, and positive thinking. She also teaches one-on-one from her Manhattan office or on the phone nationally and internationally. She's joined us here today on the Entrepreneurial Fit Radio Show, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Carol, why is it so hard for people to lose weight and to keep it off?
Well, I think that sense of deprivation or a lot of the all or nothing, and it's just human nature that we're not going to be able to not do something for the rest of our lives. I think it really works great with alcohol, but you can stop drinking, you can stop drugging, you can stop smoking because you don't need that to live, but you cannot stop eating. And so these old habits, these old rituals, you know, 2 years ago I was invited to a Thanksgiving dinner, and not only did the host and the hostess prepare ample food for 4,000 people, but every single person other than myself walked in with some favorite dish of theirs from childhood. So this is not with the pies, 7, and cakes, 2, and all kinds of beverages and wine. There were 17 side dishes at that Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. And so the connection that people make, the childhood and the happiness and so forth. And so those rituals are very food connected, as opposed to how I would handle it now, was that I like dark meat turkey and I like stuffing because it's something I can't get year round, something nice, homemade stuffing. And I like the individual cranberry things. The rest of the time, because that's something that's a meal that I would have at home or in a restaurant, I would have something like that. And I want the giblet gravy, so that's all fine with me. The rest of the time I would be helping the hostess. Okay, and maybe playing with some kids, maybe their parents, you know, needed a few more minutes to eat. So that would be my feeling, not to have to overindulge because of what is there, but to truly choose what I need. And this is something I had to learn. But naturally thin people know this all the time. They pick and choose all the time, which is not conscious of it.
How did you get into the business?
Well, I had figured it out in my head, and I did lose the weight, and I didn't want to discuss it with anybody. Because I didn't want to be one of those people that lost it and then bragged about it and then they gained it back. You know, you've seen so many people, they write books and then all of a sudden they're gained the weight back. And, but I realized when I had stopped smoking that I actually did not want to stop smoking. I was, in those years when I stopped smoking, it was very glamorous, you know, the 40s and the movies. I mean, I didn't live in the 40s, but the movies, you know, that illusion, you know, people smoked on television, you know, in those years. And, so a man that I was dating, he wanted to, give me this present. He had stopped smoking through this course and he wanted to give it to me. And I said, okay, you know, I don't really want to stop smoking. So my thought was, I'll go through it. I'll do whatever they tell me to do. And at the end of the 8-10 weeks, whatever it was, I would go back to them and I would say, you know, I did everything you told me to do and it didn't work. I'd like my money back. Actually, I'd like his money back and I was going to buy jewelry. So that was my plan. Okay. But I did stop smoking, and I not only stopped, but I love not smoking. And I couldn't figure out, what did they do to turn my head around in such a short period of time? And I wanted it to lock in. I didn't want to be one of those people that's, you know, 20 years later said, well, it was New Year's Eve and I had one puff. I didn't want to be that person. And so I taught that program for 7 years. And as I said, you can stop smoking and drinking and drugging, but you cannot stop eating. You have to learn how. And that's what I did. I created a program for myself about changing habits, just as I had done with the cigarettes. And when I lost the weight, everybody wanted to know, but I didn't want to talk about it. And then about 3-4 years later, a therapist that I had gone to at one time, years before, and almost every session I always talked about, oh, I put this weight on, I'm so frustrated, I don't know how to get it off. So he sees me in the street, he says, oh my goodness, you lost the weight, how did you do it? And I said, well, I just changed some habits. And he says, well, if you ever go into business, he said, I'll be your first customer. But several other people had asked me the same thing. And I thought, you know, I got 4 people, maybe let me figure something out. So I sort of wrote a quick curriculum. And I called them up, and that was the beginning. And that was the first meeting, and it was the first way I realized I couldn't teach it in a group. It must be one-on-one because everybody is different. But it was really terrific, and that was April 11th, 1981. And it's been word of mouth since. So that's how I got into the business.
Well, how about telling our listeners where they can connect with you online and also to get more information about the Carol Ehrlich program?
They certainly can check out my website, which is conquerfood.com. And phone number would be 212-986-7155. That's in New York City.
Well, in conclusion, what one thing could you leave with our listeners that they could put into action or practice today that could help them be more healthy or fit?
Okay. I was going to say a different tip, but this one I think is even more important because it's so doable, and that is to drink water. And so many people misidentify hunger as it's thirst, though. And sometimes you drink a glass of water, and the moment passes, and you realize, oh, I probably wasn't hungry in the first place. So you need to hydrate your body. Water flushes toxins out of the system, brings nutrients to where they need to go. Not only terrific, something to get, something to hold on to. All of these things are so positive. And I might add, this is so wonderful for the skin. You will see a noticeable difference in your complexion. It's everywhere. You can bring it to the office. You can drink it at home, put it near your TV, near the computer. Wherever you are, you keep drinking water. This is one of the best tips I can possibly give to you.
We've been speaking with Carol Ehrlich, the founder, director of the Carol Ehrlich Program, a behavioral approach to weight loss, goal setting, and positive thinking. She also teaches one-on-one in her Manhattan office or on the phone nationally and or internationally. And the website of reference, once again, is conquerfood.com. Thanks so much, Carol, for joining us here today on Entrepreneurial Fit Radio.
Thank you so much, Eric. Really enjoyed this.
I have as well, and this has been Eric Dye for Entrepreneurial Fit Radio. Join us again for another episode that will help guide you to a more healthy and prosperous year ahead. And we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Entrepreneurial Fit Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.